Well, welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borkman, the Executive Director of Disciple First, and we're a ministry that's really has a heartbeat to empower and encourage the local church to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And in the podcast room today with Pastor JT Thornton over here to my left.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm great. It's good to be here.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
I mean, by this time, you're just going to be a podcast regular. We keep bringing you on.
That's fine. I could talk with you guys all day long, so let's do it.
And further over there, we got Pastor Craig Etheridge.
Yeah, the old goat.
How you doing?
Right here, man.
He makes it happen.
I'm in the middle of it.
I tell you all the time, you're the glue. You're the glue that makes this
thing. Holding it all together.
So
just
you
for you, Ben.
Thanks for being here.
Welcome, JT. Good to have you here, man.
It's great to be here. Always is.
We're going to keep a short introduction. Go ahead and just tell them again, church that you serve at.
Yeah, it's the Trinity Baptist Church in Sweetwater. Been the lead pastor there for about 4.5 years, and then also just started a new nonprofit ministry helping develop pastors and ministry leaders in their spiritual formation called Catalyst 645. Really excited about what God's doing with it.
Yeah, go back and, like I said, listen to a couple other episodes that you've been on. We're kind of going a little more depth about that, but really, both of you guys, I know you have a heart for other pastors, and so that's really the whole idea with this episode and with Disciple Making Leader podcast in general is we want to be an encouragement and really want to address real life things that are going on. This topic today really it's something that most people don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
So crew.org put out a blog here recently, and they called it the silent epidemic. Barna Research had another blog that they described it as the silent problem of the local church, and it's really talking about pornography. And so pornography in the church, we don't want to talk about it. It is silent. It's taboo. It's awkward. But if you look at the statistics, it is an epidemic. It is at epidemic levels. The amount of pornography consumption within our church body and even pastors and church staff.
Yep.
I'm going to read a couple of these. So research shows that 54% of practicing Christians report viewing pornography at some level. From the pastor standpoint, studies indicate that upward of 50% of pastors and 68% of youth pastors have admitted to struggling with pornography. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what gender and age. Most of the time, it's more men leading. But as our culture changes and shifts, even it's also a problem within women. So I mean, that's a dynamic that's changing as our culture, continues to move further and further away from Christ. And again, describing it as the silent epidemic, 93% of pastors recognize that pornography is a growing problem, but only 7% had a dedicated plan of program to help those struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And it's dramatically the ease now of having a phone and with the growth of the internet and other things, the ease in our children. I have an 18-year-old son. I mean, it comes at him a lot faster than it did even when I was a child. So those things are changing. And the impact on the youth, it says 70% of Christian youth pastors report having at least one teen seek help for pornography in the past year.
Yep.
So, and that's just the ones that sought help.
Right.
And so it is a problem. We need to talk. And again, it is a delicate situation. We don't need this. We need to use a little bit of tact and talk about it. But it's a real issue that I'd like to talk about today because it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about sexual sin in a different way. There's a different effect on our heart and our soul with sexual sin. But even our biology, the way that God created us, pornography is very dangerous. If you read, we're going to put some links to a few of these where I'm getting some of these stats from that were helpful. If you have a young child or a young son or teenage son, have a book called The Young Man's Guide to Awesomeness by Barrett Johnson, which is a great resource. We'll put links for that and some of this these where we're getting this information in the show notes for you. But what it says is porn is as addictive to heavy drugs such as cocaine.
Yeah.
The responses that are going on are the dopamine responses that are going on in your brain if you're a cocaine user are at the same level as with pornography. Porn, it actually rewires your brain. It creates a desensitization or tolerance. There's a reduced brain volume. Even the mass of your brain is reduced because of pornography consumption, impaired impulse control. So like your decision making and impulse, like how you actually make decisions about your daily life can be affected and be reduced as pornography consumption increases. It alters your neural pathways, has a decreased sensitivity to your real life partner. So, you know, the fact that you can't be emotional or physically intimate or emotionally attached mm-hmm. to even your wife or spouse because of pornography use, that's how much it actually affects yeah. your brain. Yeah. And so to me, it's worth a conversation. It's worth talking about because I really think a lot of people are dealing with it, whether they're telling you that or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And to say, I mean, I totally second everything you're saying with that. It's even said that when the physical appearance of the brain of someone who is addicted to porn somewhat images like a someone who is addicted to drugs, right? I will say too, though, just because when you hear that, and if you're out there and you're really struggling with pornography, when you hear all that, that can be completely devastating to just listen to. That, oh, here are all these things that I've already done to my brain, right? That it's just unfixable. Well, the beautiful thing about the sovereignty and the grace and the strength of God is that our brains actually neurologically are made to be able to heal themselves too, right? In this way, that we can actually form new neurological pathways to where our body doesn't respond in that. So it doesn't mean just if you're in that rut right now that you can't get out. Yeah. It does mean that there is an option. It's easier to stay in than it is to get out of that. But it's always going to be a constant battle, no matter what. So just take that as some good news, too, yeah. that our brains do heal themselves, yeah. too.
And that's kind of my experience. I was exposed to pornography probably for the first time in third grade, a friend's house. And, hey, look at this, and different things. And then in college, it was really normalized, just in the culture that I was around and the decisions I was making, even though I'd grown up in a church home and knew that that wasn't something I should be doing or looking at. It just became normalized in college. And so there was a lot of patterns. But then when I really started, kind of when God got a hold of me and started really following him, that really never was a problem. Kind of like you're saying, he started rewiring what was mm-hmm. in my heart first yeah. yep. and then rewiring my brain. But what I would say is those images from when I was a third grade boy, 9-year-old boy are still imprinted in my brain. And because of the previous patterns, I have to always keep my guard up.
Absolutely.
No matter that I don't have the same desires or look, I would say the temptation level like that mm-hmm. when I never was addicted to porn. I wouldn't say I was ever addicted to pornography, but because I was exposed to it, now all of a sudden, now since I let that devil in, I always have to protect against it, I feel right. like. And so
there's still scars.
Yeah, yeah. And have to deal with that. And you guys, I mean, any experience that you guys would like to share or just kind of thoughts before we kind of dig into maybe some tangible ways to help people fight this temptation?
You know, I would say my exposure to pornography, again, just kind of knowing the times that I grew up in, it was always the big brother that had a stack of Playboys, you know, that you saw when you did a sleepover at his house. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of thing. Again, very young. I'm thankful that that was all it was. I mean, yeah. because I didn't really have any exposure after that. And I'm very, very thankful for that. Yeah. But again, it just, I have so much compassion for young men, particularly in this day where it is so available and so mm-hmm. easy and so accessible 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is just, no wonder it's epidemic, right? Because right. of the attraction of it mm-hmm. and the availability of it.
Yeah.
And again, their inability to, in a mature way, understand how dangerous this is, right?
Right.
All that works against them. Mm-hmm. And then with peer pressure and all the yeah. kinds of things mm-hmm. that come into that, the deck is stacked against most young men. And so this is something we have to address and speak about on a regular right. basis to, and equip dads yeah. to not only deal with it themselves,
right.
but to also have those conversations with their son and with their daughter, because this is the new reality. And even though I didn't raise boys at my house, I raised daughters. Those daughters are still going to be in relationship with boys that are having these same issues. So it's really got to a point where it can't be the silent epidemic any longer.
And there's even, I believe that because of the accessibility through social media, through things that, again, the devil has limited control in this age, right? And over the things, these systems and things that we have. And I believe that technology is one of those things that he can influence. And the fact that algorithms will go after young men certain times of day, those algorithms will kick in certain days of the week, certain times of the day. And again, that's going back, like thinking about with my son, how do I help him guard against that when someone is attacking him?
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going looking for it. Like, even if he's not going looking for it, it's coming after him. And that's the world we live in.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the, y'all are about to feel real old here in a second. So the iPhone came out my freshman year of high school.
Oh, there you go.
And which was just a brand new portable computer in your hand that no one knew anything about, right? And so that was like, I mean, that's my generation.
Yeah.
And it's only obviously drastically enhanced since then.
Right.
And so when you really think about that, you think about not only the addictive nature of porn in itself, but the addictive nature of technology, and you combine the two of those along with the algorithms and along with things like that, it is a struggle. And it's a real struggle, and it's one that has bound so many people that I myself struggled with as well, and realized, hey, I can either let this completely take over my life, or I can choose to make some choices on the front end to where I'm not just feeling like I'm playing defense and not getting scored on all the time, but I can go on the offense and set up those parameters. I think we'll talk about parameters here in a second, but but what does that look like? It's that the reality of all sin is that it's a result of brokenness that we are surrounded by, but we are not the victims of it. We're the ones that are making the choices, right? And so we have to come to terms with those facts, which is not always the easiest thing.
You know, I just want to add one thing before we kind of move into solutions. You know, the shame effect is really big too. And I think that's what contributes to this silence of it is, you know, I do it, then I feel shameful. I feel guilty about it. You know, it's like Adam hiding, you know, from the Lord. And, but that shame only presses you more into isolation and secrecy, which only feeds it even more. And, just from talking with men that are battling this, you know, the first, point of victory is just the exposure. Say, okay, this is the reality. Bringing that into the light it really disarms a lot of it. Not all of it, but it disarms a great amount so that you can now actually deal with it and find support and encouragement to help you move forward. And that the gospel is all about erasing our shame, removing our shame, not us sitting in our shame.
And that's part of the attractive nature, in particular for pastors, is that porn is a sin that is incredibly isolated to where it is completely in the dark, right? It is alone. It is something that nobody else will know about, right? So you think, even though it affects everything that you do in your interactions and how you see people, it's something that really is done completely in isolation. So where that isolation is something we fear, it's also something that in this sin you embrace.
Right.
For the sake of your pleasure, right? Yeah. Like your sinful pleasure.
Yeah, and I go back to, there's a few overgirding things I like to think about is, number one, this is a heart issue. Mm-hmm. Like any sin issue is a heart issue. What we're seeing is the fruit of really a deeper heart issue. When you see pornography or when you see the addiction to pornography, it's actually evidence of a heart issue. And the Bible calls that foolishness. When we run to things that we shouldn't, or we don't walk in the identity that we have in Christ, you're free. You are no longer a slave. You do not have to submit to that anymore. You have freedom in Christ. We're walking as, I know it sounds harsh, but we're walking as fools. So, but the counteract, the reason I say that is, what does the Bible say about what counteracts foolishness? Wisdom.
Right. Hmm.
And so we need truth. We need wisdom. So if we are acting foolishly, we need to remind ourselves and we need to seek true wisdom, which we find in the Word of God. And so, but I think a lot of that is wrapped around two things that I really want to leave our guys with and talk about, you know, leave our listeners with, but talk around is, number one, guard your heart. That's just one handle. I think everybody, no matter this, you know, especially this sin issue, but whether you're a pastor, whether you're not a pastor, this idea of guard your heart. But then secondly, I want to move to what specifically for pastors, knowing your ministry tendencies, when are you susceptible to temptation, yeah, and how to guard against that, which it's kind of the same, but I think they go hand in hand. So let's start with just generally talking about guarding your heart. So when I say, what do you think of, Craig, when I say guard your heart?
Yeah, you know, you kind of get this picture of some kind of protection over your heart, right? You know, some kind of barrier or something like that. And I think that there are several things you can do. Again, you're not powerless against pornography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The sin is like any other sin. It's conquered by the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. We are therefore now no longer under condemnation. We are free. And so as a result of that, I think, you know, guarding your heart starts off with just confession. I think starting with confessing, you know, this issue to God, confessing it to yourself, and I think confessing it to somebody that you, mm-hmm, trust. That confession is the first shot across the bow of the battle that you're about to walk into. And if you're unwilling to confess the reality of it, you're never going to get victory over it.
Yeah.
You know, 1 John says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness. So if I want to get to purity, if I want to get to a new life, if I want to get to back restoration with my wife and not have this hounding me and all of that, I've got to start with confession. And I think that's a very, very important piece.
Yeah. You know, when I was first kind of, people were training me, okay, really, how do I walk with God on an everyday basis? That was foreign to me, even growing up in church. And again, I'd put a lot of patterns in my life, and it was this idea of saturating my life with God's word. How do I saturate? Because again, think of a sponge that's completely saturated. Once it's completely saturated, no more water can go in.
Right.
And so how do I get where all this God's word and truth and wisdom is coming out of my life because I'm just keep pouring it in as much and I'm just saturating my life. Well, then all of a sudden your desires change, it starts yep, to shape my heart, because again, the heart's the real issue here. Not stop doing that. Stop looking at this. The heart's the issue. For our listeners, go, if you're struggling with this, or go read Proverbs 2. I mean, it just goes, starting in verse 7, it goes into, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding, says multiple times, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, delivering you from the way of evil.
Yeah.
This is an offensive stance. Using the word of God, I think, you know, Craig, I've heard you preach about it before, you know, like the Ephesians passage, the word of God, when it talks about the armor, yeah, when it talks about the armor of God, and when it talks about the word of truth, that's a dagger. It's used for specific combat, hand-to-hand, tight-knit, that's right, yep, combat. That's what this is.
Right.
You fight that you have to fight, and yeah, it's a weapon. Use it. You have it at your disposal. Yeah,
right.
And we do that by just saturating our life on a daily basis. Yeah. And that's what, when I think of guarding my heart, that's, because if I get my life gets busy and I'm not saturating my life with God's word, then all of a sudden, you know, maybe my tone changes with my wife, maybe my attitude changes, maybe my eyes go where they shouldn't go. You see what I'm,
yeah,
and that's where I go back with that.
And that's the, like, we were literally, of course, made in the image of God, made to express our love. Like, that's what we were created for, ultimately, before sin came into the world, to express our love to our Creator and to our Father. But with sin coming into the world, right, there are so many other options in which we have the opportunity to express love, right? To where viewing pornography is an aspect of expressing your love. It doesn't mean it's something that's beneficial. It's actually completely detrimental. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, okay, I'm just not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, what would it look like instead to focus in an area to be able to express your love in the exact space that we were intended to be able to express our love, which is in a relationship with the Lord. Yeah. And so instead then of saying, I'm just not going to sin, it's actually, Lord, you are the author and the perfecter and the creator of all things. How, show me what it looks like to love you with the fullness of myself, and when I don't, to receive your grace when I fail. Yeah. And then when I'm in pursuit of that, then all of a sudden pornography doesn't have as much of a hold on me, mm-hmm. because I realize that it is temporary and God is eternal. And God lasts forever, of course, right? And that relationship is something that not only can benefit me right now, but it also gives me a greater purpose. And then also, obviously, I'm in relationship with God for all of eternity. Pornography is just a sin that is to deter me from that.
Yeah. You know, both of you guys are articulating what I would call the principle of displacement. Mm-hmm. This idea that it's not only starving out this innate desire for sexual gratification that's right. That's a part of our flesh. But it's also, and so that means, you know, cutting off access and having accountability and all these kind of, you know, confession to a brother. These are all things that you do to kind of play defense, you know, to starve out, you know, this thing that's coming at you, yeah. right?
Which choke are all it great out, things still.
Which are too, very yeah. important. I mean, you have to have that. Right. You have to have that kind of defensive posture when you're being attacked.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, you have to play offense too.
Yep.
And the offense is more aggressive, and that is that you're actively displacing those thoughts. I mean, if I think, I've got to stop thinking about pornography, I've got to stop thinking about pornography, I've got to stop thinking about pornography. Well, what am I doing? I'm thinking about pornography the whole time.
Yep.
But if I'm displacing those thoughts with other things, mm-hmm. now I'm not thinking about porn anymore. I'm thinking about the thing that has got my attention. And so, you know, the scripture that part of, to your point, part of the healing nature mm-hmm. of our brain is that we can put other things in our brain.
Right.
And we can rewire our brain. The renewing of our mind, Romans 12, is a real thing. And that Absolutely. Comes through the Word of God. And so, like you said, how am I feeding God's Word in my brain every day? I'm meditating on God's Word. I'm praying this out back. How am I memorizing Scripture? I'm meditating on Scripture. These are all things that are like bullets in my weapon, right?
Yep.
That helps
yep.
me to fire those things off in the moment. Yep. And I think you have to see yourself not as a victim of pornography,
exactly.
but you have to see it as a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on an aggressive footing, you're on a war footing. That you understand this is deadly, you understand that this is toxic, it'll kill your relationship, it'll kill your family, it'll take everything away from you. Yeah. I've had guys lose their careers over this, mm-hmm. lose their family, their kids, their grandkids, all of that's gone because
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even care about you. Porn doesn't even care about you. They don't even know you.
Yep. Yep.
Right? And so when they start to get a handle that if you had a guy come in your home with a weapon and start attacking you, you would fight, right?
Yep.
Well, that's what's happening every day. That yeah. that thing is coming right at you
right.
to attack you and to lure you away. And Proverbs tells us, this isn't anything new, right?
Right.
How many times in Proverbs they say, don't go by that woman's house.
Yep.
You know, it's going to
yep.
take you to the grave. Yep. You know, nobody comes out of there alive.
Yeah.
You know, there's that warning. And then to instead follow wisdom. There, you know, Proverbs, there's always two women. There's the wayward woman,
uh-huh.
and then there's the woman of wisdom.
Yeah. Right.
Seek after wisdom. So you got the defense and the offense.
Yep.
Pursuing her, seeking after her. You
yeah.
know, that's where you're going to find God guiding and protecting and providing for you. And so just calling that men up to that.
Yeah.
This is, you know, there's a book, Every Man's Battle, great right. book, great resource, but it's a great title.
Yeah.
It is Every Man's Battle, and we have to suit up.
Absolutely.
And we're not only fighting for ourselves, we're fighting for our families, and we're fighting for maybe even our spouse that we don't even know yet.
Yeah.
We're fighting for her.
Oh, it's huge.
You know?
Yeah, especially for those that aren't married yet, right? It's, I mean, you think of the statistic, 68% of youth pastors, right? So a lot of your youth pastors, some of them aren't married yet, okay? Well, there's still a responsibility there. Of purity. And the thing I think about whenever you referenced Romans 12:2 is that there's two words in there. It's don't conform,
right.
but transform.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So to conform it's something that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
To transform has to be intentionally engaged in.
Right.
Right. And so it's not about not conforming. It's about transforming by the renewal of your mind. Right. In the way of Jesus, and it's a step by step battle for battle. And by the way, some battles you lose,
right.
but praise God that we have His abundant grace to be able to lean on in that, and to be able to celebrate His grace, not to take advantage of it, right? But to be able to say, Lord, You knew that I couldn't do this by myself. Thank you. Let me continue to teach me what it looks like to walk through this transformation process that starts from within me, so that then the actions that I choose to engage in are a reflection of who you are calling me to be, and not just the sinful nature I'm just allowing to come out because, oh, well, it's just something I'm always going to struggle with, because it doesn't have to be. The temptation is always something that you will always block against, especially if you've struggled with it, and you'll always have to fight that. But you don't always have to be bound by it, because we serve a God who frees all of it and breaks all of our chains.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So guard your heart. That means, hey, more than anything, Lord, I want to know you. I want to please you. I want to choose wisdom. And in order to do that, I need your help. Mm-hmm. And change those walking through those patterns, washing your life over with God's word, setting up some guards, those types of things. I think it really ties in. That's kind of a more universal. I want the perspective of you as a pastor, because I've heard this. I think it happens in all of our lives. There can be things that go on in our life that set us up maybe that we're more susceptible to temptation. Yeah. So the way I put it is, know your tendencies.
Yeah.
So you need to guard your heart, and they kind of go hand in hand. Know your tendencies. So you as a pastor, what's going on when you have learned over now, the season that you've served and the season you've been in ministry, hey, I really need to guard my heart or be very proactive after a season of ministry like this.
Yeah.
Is there certain times where you've seen that?
Yeah. When you are hungry, when you're tired, when you're down, when you're discouraged, these are all the times that you're the most vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. When you're isolated, when you're alone, this is when you hear the howling of that temptation.
Absolutely.
Scratching at your door. And every man is most vulnerable in these moments. Yeah. Sometimes we're vulnerable, even after a big victory.
Yeah.
But you think about Jesus' temptation, right? He was alone, he was isolated, he was hungry, he was tired. Mm-hmm. All of that physical vulnerability, it plays into our spiritual vulnerability. And so I think you have to have a plan for dealing with those moments. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an offensive plan. Here's what I'm going to do to fill my mind with truth and to distract myself. And when I hear this, how am I going to actually handle the temptation when it comes? I'm going to have a defensive plan where I'm going to amputate. So I'm going to take some apps and get rid of them on my phone. I may need to get rid of my phone and go to a flip phone for a while. I may have to do whatever I have to do. Yeah. To cut off this attack.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have accountability. I'm gonna have these things going on, but then in the same time, I've got to realize, hey, I know when I'm vulnerable.
Right.
Hey, if I'm on that business trip and I'm all by myself in that hotel room, that's danger zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to happen. You got a trip planned next Thursday. So what are you going to do? I'm going to call my buddies. Yep. I'm going to do certain things. What was it? Billy Graham, that, this old school illustration, but he would have people go into his room before he even went into the room and remove the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the wisdom of that is knowing, hey, I'm vulnerable just like anybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think as a pastor, you already have a bullseye on you, because if you fall, then it just kind of, you represent God to many people in the sense of just your stand for truth. And so if you fall, that has a greater impact than maybe somebody else that nobody sees or knows. So I think you have to be true to yourself and realize where you're vulnerable and not think that, hey, I that'll never happen to me. That won't affect me, because it's going to affect all of us.
Yeah, you have to have that forethought to, as I mentioned, my friend from San Antonio, who's he's my accountability partner. I mean, there's nothing about my life that he does not know. And so if I'm going to be home alone for a weekend or something, he immediately will get a phone call. And so I need you praying for me. And he'll be texting me throughout the weekend. My personal habit is that, honestly, social media can frankly be a gateway to pornography, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And so my personal practice is I don't have the capacity to look at social media on my phone for more than 2 minutes per day. My wife has my screen time code. I don't even know it. And that's by design. I asked her to have it, because it's like, beyond that, I'm just going to I'm just going to scroll, and it's just going to be a gateway.
Right.
And that's not for everybody, but I felt called to it. I felt led to it because it's like, hey, this just isn't worth it. It's really not. It only leads to death. That is the nature of sin, after all. And so, but recognizing those times where you are extra stressed, where, you know, we all will naturally, our bodies just look for a release. Mm-hmm. What is the release? And so the question is, what is the release that you will go to? Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? Is it something that'll draw you closer to the Lord, or is it something that'll take you away? You know, could it be working out? Could it, you know, there's all different types of things. I can't hardly draw a stick figure, but some people like to do, or like to draw, paint, whatever. And that's a release for them, right? So being able to, as you said, look ahead, have the forethought to say, hey, this is likely coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm already going to have my plan in place to be able to do that. Just like the pulling the TV out of the
right. Yeah. 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 Just know when you're going to take the greatest hits.
Yep. Yes.
Hit is hungry, isolated, and tired. Yep. You know, those are usually when you have the greatest hits, you know, so just know yourself. And if you don't, you know, have a great conversation with a trusted friend that says, you know, when are you the most vulnerable? You know, and by the way, that vulnerability isn't just for pornography. Oh, it can be vulnerability anything. To lots of things.
Yeah.
And the enemy prowls, you know, and so we know that in 1 Peter 5, but you can overcome this.
Yeah.
And absolutely. In Christ, you will overcome this, mm-hmm. but it's not going to come without a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, you know, just as we wrap up, the idea is, number one, sin's got to come to the light, mm-hmm. right? It cannot remain in the darkness. But we have to be proactive. That's what I'm hearing from you. You know, guarding your heart is a proactive, offensive word, but also knowing yourself and knowing where those danger spots are and having this. I mean, again, it takes a little bit of discipline, but having the strength to actually put those safeguards up.
Absolutely.
And involve people. And I love, you know, as listening to you, you had a friend, you had your spouse yep. is involved in that. That's also bringing things to life.
Yep,
this right. is a struggle, and that's hard to admit with your spouse. I'm a pastor. I'm married. I'm not supposed to. Okay, but is it worth, it's worth saying, hey, I'm struggling with this is probably better than, hey, we need to get a divorce.
Yeah,
I'm going to lose my.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, but in our minds, we don't reconcile that all the time. We don't make that decision. I don't think. So, I just think bringing that out, being proactive, being mm-hmm. very disciplined, and again, because it's not the alternative is not worth it, and it is so destructive.
Yeah, it's like who you know, a kind of a good question to ask. That's also not a good question to ask in some senses too. Is who would I not in my close circle? Who would I not want to find out about this? If you're in someone that you're really close in relationship with, and whoever that is probably should be your accountability partner in that, because how motivating to continue to see, because that's the person that you admire and you respect the most. And for a lot of us who are married, it would likely be our spouse. Mm. But the enemy wants us to keep that sin in the darkness when really bringing it to light is saying, I want to invite you in on this journey. Not to tell you every little itty bitty tiny detail so that you're weighed down by it, but to say, you're with me in this and I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that above all, like this is completely clear, and this is what I'm fighting, and I'm actively fighting for because I love the Lord and I love you.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I think about Ben over the last year or two, we've seen so many mega church pastors just fall morally, right? And it just happened overnight.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. These things happen because of compromises, small little compromises that led to bigger issues that set yourself up for the fall later down the line. And you know, you think about what if those guys had, right at the very beginning, mm-hmm. saw these small little choices,
right.
little things that were, you know, very simple and not really that bad, you know, but those little things led to bigger things and to that desensitizing them to the sin. You know, what if that could have been addressed right then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much better their life would have been, their family would have been, their ministry would have been if they had taken care of it. So I just, you know, if you got guys that are working through this, I would just say, man, take courage, put on a warrior face,
absolutely.
Put on a warrior face, fight for for your marriage, fight for your family, fight for yourself, fight for your walk with God, and not allow the enemy to take one more inch of territory in your life.
Yeah, because you always look at it in the moment as, oh, this would be way too hard to admit right now. And then you go however many days, weeks, months down the road, and you can say the exact same thing and look back and at the moment that you said was the hardest, and you realize it would have been a lot easier to do then than it would be now. And you just continue to dig yourself in that hole that is just incredibly difficult to get yourself out of. It's easier to kill something as a seed than it is a full-grown tree.
Right.
Right. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Well, thank you both for just your wisdom. Hopefully, you know, everybody that's listening, this is a great encouragement to you. And I also really want to thank you both for the willingness to fight. Because your influence, the people that God's given you to shepherd and steward, their life is worth it. And so I applaud you for fighting and to put forth the effort to do that and to seek the Lord with all your heart and to guard your heart. And so just continue to encourage you to do that as well. If you're listening out there, again, we're going to have some links for you in the show notes with some of the things we talked about today. And if you're struggling with this, if you need somebody to talk to, hey, our team is here to help you. We do not want you to be isolated as a pastor or leader. Please reach out, and we'd love to help you in any way we can. Thanks so much for watching.